As I always say, we have wonderful scripture passages for our prayer and reflection this morning. And I think in the context of things happening in the parish around here in the month of October, especially this weekend and next, which I'll get to in a second, I'm going to land, I think, on reading number 2 and reading number 1. 2 and 1. So, reading number 2, we hear from St. Paul yet again, and this time we're hearing pretty much the end, the wrap-up to his famous letter to the people of Philippi, or the Philippians, as we often call them in our biblical texts. And he says some very important things which help us understand what has been a essential part of Christian life from its very first days. The letter was probably written like in the mid-50s or so, right after Jesus goes back to his Father, call it 20 years or so after the resurrection, so it's a very early Christian document that talks about the life of the community. And what does he say? A few things. One, he says, I have been so blessed to learn how to live with an abundance of things, like many gifts and lots of resources, and I've been blessed to learn how to live with almost nothing. I can have lots of things, and I can have almost nothing. I can go without, and I can go with. Why? He says, because at the kernel of the whole thing is Jesus Christ, my Lord. In him, I can do everything. He makes me strong. He is my sustenance. So with him, it doesn't matter if I have a lot or a little. I know I've got everything because I'm rich in the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's kind of his whole point. Now, there's a part that we skip over here. They cut out 5 verses right in the middle, which are kind of the better part, you might say. Because Paul's also trying to say, however, I do like a sandwich once in a while and a nice bed to sleep in, so thank you for those things. Paul's a fundraiser. He's a pastor. What can I say? If one looks at the whole context of the letter, Philippi was probably his favorite community. He loved them with a very big heart and had great affection toward them. He writes this letter probably from when he is in prison in some other venue after having been there before, writing back to them. And among other things, he compliments them for being great believers, very warm-hearted, welcoming people, and very generous people. They gave a lot, and not just to other causes, but to support him. The piece we hear today, especially the piece that we cut out, is him thanking them for giving him money. They took up a collection for him. They gave him resources. They welcomed him when he was with them. They fed him. They took him in. And when he went away, they sent money after him. So this is like a fundraising thank you to them. So he's trying to say, yes, I can live without anything. Great, but I do appreciate the offering, he's trying to say, right? Why? The part that gets cut out is the kernel of it. He says, the reason I appreciate it so much isn't just because I like a sandwich, although I do, I'm not going to lie, Paul says, because I know that your act of giving benefits you. It's like putting money in your heavenly bank account because you're being like God. You're being generous. He says to them in different occasions in this one too, as you are generous, as you give, as you share, your hearts grow, you are joyful, and you behave like God behaves. As he gives, you give. As he shares, you share. So Paul says, as your pastor, the proud pastor who thinks you're an awesome parish community, I'm happy you gave me money, not just because I liked the money, but because it benefited you to give. It benefits your salvation, your souls, it grows your hearts. That's what he's trying to say. So that tells us, again, the year 55 or so AD, that way back to the very first days of Christian communities, Philippi was a parish, just like this one's a parish. People gave. People shared. They prayed. They helped. They were, the word is stewardship, right? They knew God blessed them, and they gave it back in return. And they gave to good causes. What was the good cause in this case? It was Paul. It was Paul. And also the Jerusalem church as time would pass. So the second reading is about the Christian practice from the earliest days of being good givers. We support good causes because it benefits our hearts to be people who give in a generous manner. So that's that. Which sets up what I would say about reading number 1 from Isaiah in the context again of October around here in the parish. How do I mean this? Isaiah gives us this beautiful, beautiful image, okay? And he speaks about a mountaintop. It's a famous reading. He says to the people of Israel in around 700 or so BC, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples. He will wipe away death. He'll wipe away tears. He will destroy the veil that veils all people. So he's going to remove what is scary, frightening, a threat. God's going to take away whatever is difficult and hard and ground you on the foundation of himself, feed you, provide for you. You'll have nothing to fear. Your shepherd is God. Your warrior king is God. Your army is God. Your fortress is God. Okay? That's the image of Isaiah, this zone of security and comfort and calm in the face of threats at the time. The people hearing him would have thought this very remarkable at first. Because the fact is, as he's talking about these things, about a calm zone of security, he's speaking about the mountaintop that is Jerusalem, which is not much of a mountaintop. If one goes there today and looks at it, one kind of says, you know, that's a hill. That's not a mountain, which is true. But Isaiah says, you can think of this as a mountain because it's protected by God. It may look unlikely as a mountain from the outside, but in God's grace and his power, it grows in its substance because his power backs it. And he lives here on this mountain. The people of Israel would think, well, we have these threats. We have the Assyrians. They're off to the northeast. They're our mortal enemies. They're doing all these bad things. Shouldn't be afraid of them. Isaiah says, well, take your precautions, build your fortresses, which they did, have your armies, which they have, but ultimately, Isaiah says, what's going to keep you safe and secure is not what you make out of your hands, it's going to be God's power. Trust in him. Trust in him. Be not afraid, Isaiah is trying to say. Do not fear the real opponents. We won't minimize them, Isaiah says, but God is stronger than them, and you know that. So the mindset of faith in Isaiah turns what's otherwise a very unlikely looking place of, you know, this little hilltop without not a big army into a stronghold in God's sight. Faith keeps us strong, Isaiah said. Faith pushes out fear. Faith pushes away anxiety. This is what lets us stand on the firm rock who is the Lord our God. And in that way, we live in a zone of his care, of normalcy, sanity, and goodness. That's a great image for a people who had real threats and real dangers and real problems, which they didn't minimize, but they also realized in God's power they're manageable. We're going to get through, and they did. They did quite well under Isaiah's watchful care and prophecies. So what does that have to do with the first reading or the second reading? Think about it like this, okay? This is the time of the year in October when, as a parish, we always think about what it means to support our ministries here, to support the mission of St. Francis Cabrini Parish and our outreaches and our apostolates. We have a lot of them here. Okay? And that means, like St. Paul in the second reading, supporting a good cause, supporting a mission, supporting what we think is worthy of our prayers, our sacrifices, our time, and our dollars. We believe that something here really matters. Like St. Paul's story in reading number 2. What's the mission here? What's the cause? What's the good cause? What matters? I would put it kind of like this. I would say, for the last several months here now at the parish, and St. Mary's too, ever since May, when we've reopened for Masses, the goal here, the mission here, has been to do what Isaiah is talking about. It's to create here at St. Francis Cabrini a little mountaintop experience wherein we know that God is taking care of us, that God's not walked out on us, that God is with us, and that therefore we can be in the face of real legitimate threats and opponents, not people of panic, not people of fear, not people of anxiety, prudent people, careful people, but not panicked people. We can live in God's mountaintop. This is the Holy Mountain. It may look unlikely, right? It's a building. It's a patch of property in the middle of West Bend. But like Isaiah in the ancient world, he's trying to say to the people, you know, you're a beacon of hope for the people. They're going to look at us here on this hilltop and realize they must trust in something really powerful to keep on going with their lives in the face of so many threats. Cabrini's essential mission is the same thing. West Bend, the wider world, has to look at us and say, you know, they're open, they're behaving normally, they're doing things reasonably, even with caution and care and prudence, but their school's running, they're visiting the sick, they're going to the hospital, they're offering prayers, they're gathering, they're doing what they have to do. They must trust in something very, very powerful, not to panic like everybody else is panicking. That's the mission. That's the understanding. That's the goal. I don't have to tell you why this is important. We all know the news, right? We all know the threats. The Israelites had the Assyrians in the 700s BC. They were not imaginary, they were real. We have a pandemic today, which you hear about every blessed hour of the day, every media outlet that we can possibly encounter. So we know that that's out there. There are threats in our streets. They are dangerous and divided places these days. I was in Wauwatosa yesterday for a wedding, and the little village is all boarded up. It's really depressing to be there right now. There's an election going on. Let's face it, elections are always depressing. There's that. So there's no shortage of problems in the world. And we could roll over and die in the face of it and cower, or we could say like Isaiah, I'm not going to be afraid of that. I won't minimize it. It's real. But I'm going to live my life. The mission of the parish is to give the world another way to think about our problems today. One with sanity, calm, a reasoned approach, one that treats us all like adults who can think for ourselves in the face of what is difficult, and who tries to keep everything running here as best we possibly can. So this morning I had a formation talk for our parents in person down the hill. School is running down the hill. Masses are being offered here all the time. There's holy water in our fonts, confessions being heard, people being baptized, kids being taught. We're doing whatever we can to say to the world, we're not going to stop. Life has to go on. We have to live as normally as we possibly can. With precautions, sure, but not in panic. Christians don't panic. Pagans panic. That's been true from the beginning. What's our good cause? What's our mission? It is to promote sanity, to put it very simply. Okay? Now, is this a perfect place? No. Are there problems here? Of course. Am I a flawed person as a pastor? You know that by now. I certainly am. But none of that undermines the fact that the mission here is the right one, because Christians have always approached things with faith first. Faith over fear. Faith over fear. That's the mission. That's the good cause that's worthy of our support. So you know how this works. In the coming days, what's going to happen is that what's going to come in the mail to your houses is a little packet from us. There'll be pictures of me in there, bad pictures of me. Don't look at my pictures. That doesn't really matter. There'll be a letter from me. Read the letter instead. And pray about what we're going to do with our pledges for the coming year to support all of the good work here that keeps us going in the face of challenges. Last year, when we did this pledge drive, you blew it away with your pledges. Absolutely astonishing. We have to do it again this year, because we wouldn't be open right now if it were not for all you've done to get us to this point. You've come to the masses, you showed up, you've given, you've prayed. You are the reason that this is a mountaintop of God. You, because you know who lives here, God. Kudos to you and to him who make everything possible. When you get your card this week in the mail, pray about it, think about it. Next week, and we'll come back and we'll fill it out together in the context of our prayer, and we'll thank God for the mission of the parish, and we'll say, I want to keep this going. It has to keep going. We have to live our lives. That's the mission, that's the cause. That's the goal. You all make it possible. Thank God that you do. Thank God that you do. So that's it. Like St. Paul, once upon a time, we have to think about generosity. Like Isaiah, once upon a time, we wanted to be a presence of God in the world. We thank him for the chance to be part of that mission. We support it with our prayers, our dollars, our lives, and our very selves, because God knows the world needs our witness. For that, we praise him and we thank him.